But I want to say too that I'm really keen for us to keep learning from other churches who are seeking to reach out in different ways and to learn what we can from those kind of churches and people. And one of those churches is Chichester Baptist Church, and Ken Benjamin is the pastor there, been a friend for a number of years. Can we give Ken a big round of applause as he just comes up? Ken, it's so good to have you with us today, and your daughter Zoe, who's come across with you from Chichester, just know we've been catching up at different things over the years, and just hear that God's been doing some neat things at Chichester as you've kind of sought to have his heart to reach out. So I just want to, when we talk to people here about discipleship, we often use two questions. You know, what is God saying to you, and what are you doing about it? So what is God teaching you and saying to you at Chichester Baptist Church? And then maybe secondly, what are you doing about it?
Thanks, David. Good morning, everybody. It's great to be with you from Chichester, as David said. Do you guys know where Chichester is? Chichester people know where Brighton and Hove is. I just wasn't sure if it works the other way around. We're very similar. Sussex, South Coast cities, we're just smaller and prettier than you guys. And a bit smugger. But what has God been saying to us? Well, I've been a pastor there, senior minister there for 15 years, a pastor there for 18 years. And we are very, very similar churches. And I think what God was saying to me, particularly on sabbatical a few years back, was, what are you doing with what I've given you? What are you doing with what I've given you? Because churches like ours have been given so much. And if we keep doing what we're doing, we will have a certain measure of success. Whether that's real success or not, only God knows. But we will never be the answer in today's Britain for an increasing number of people who won't walk into our door. So what are you doing about that? And that's been the journey that we've been on. And so we think that we are called to a whole range of bold experiments for the sake of the lost and the least and the last and the little, prioritizing the people that Jesus prioritized. And that's led to a whole number of things, including something you do. We do a CAP, Christians Against Poverty Office. We run the Chichester Center for that, and that's in that category of a bold experiment for the lost, least, last and little, for those who wouldn't come through our door otherwise, and seen huge fruit from that. But something else that we also do is our alternative gatherings, which some churches call missional communities. I think Mike's got a picture of some of those. So it might be helpful, I don't know, Dave, just to talk through any of those.
Well, go on, just something like, Sports Plus. What does that do, and when does it do it? And
yeah, it's the when that we do it that might be a learning curve or controversial. And I'm certainly not saying that everybody need do this. But for us, all of the things that you see there are Sunday morning activities. So if you come to our church this Sunday, which you can't do because you're here, but if you were here at our church on Sunday, any Sunday morning, you would see about a quarter of our church out at one of those alternative gatherings. And the other three quarters there. Now that makes space in our main church, which is growing, and we've had a couple of building projects and can't grow anymore. So there's a convenience aspect to that. But mostly it's about trying to reach those people who wouldn't go anywhere else. And so we encourage our people only to get involved in one of those so that they're with us for the other three in the month. So Sports Plus, the one you asked about, we take over a local sports centre. Actually, it's the college sports centre. And we hire the whole place. It's on the third Sunday of the month, Sports Plus, and there'll be about 120, 130 people there, about half of which are our people, as in you would see them on a Sunday morning. And they do sports activities and games across the ages for families, and in two different age ways, there is a half-time team talk, which is a spiritual input. It's a testimony. It's a talk. And people love coming to that, and then we carry on with the games afterwards. So you see there are eight of those there. So Early Birdies, the logo gives it away a little bit, is a golf-based thing. And although I love golf, I tend not to get involved in that. But as they go around the golf course, golfers might know this term, they're given a shotgun start, which means we're given the whole back nine of the golf course and all start together. So we all start together and finish together rather than all teeing off one after the other in groups. And they're given something to discuss as they go around with their friends. Mud, Sweat and Gears is a biking event.
Quite a fit sporty lot.
let's go to Common Threads then. Common Threads takes place at the same time as some of the sporting events on the basis that it might involve different people. It's a needlecraft based activity, and we take over one of the local primary schools. And any needlecraft, some skills being given if people want it, or bring something that you're working on. And while they do it, they have coffee and cake and share stories, and there's a testimony there too. Table talk is a pub-based breakfast discussion. So you get the feel for all of these things. None of those eight did we as leaders say, this is what we're doing. We just conveyed those values and ended up with this current list.
Great. So almost getting people to, as they gather, think not just what's going on here, but how can they be going out, and even then giving them the freedom to go out on a Sunday morning to, do they sometimes gather with you and then go out?
So Cedar Ministry is a ministry to old people's homes in our area. And again, that would be a typical example of something you could say, well, I get that, but why do you do it on a Sunday morning instead of doing it at another time in the week? Lots of churches take services to old people's homes, perhaps in the Saturday or Sunday afternoon. Well, we just couldn't do it with the level of commitment that we currently do it with. So we have about 60 people leading ministries to Cedar Ministries, going to six or seven different homes. And it works because they come together just before our morning service starts, all pray together. And if they've come with families, not everybody is involved in that particular alternative gathering. So some of them then would stay in our main church service. They go out and do their Cedar Ministry services, which they're doing this morning, second Sunday in the month. And then they come back in and they're there with the rest of their family at the end. So it hasn't taken any more family time if they've got families in that way. It makes for a confusing greeting at the door because you've got people coming in who've just been doing something as well as people going out. So you're shaking hands both ways, and some aren't thanking you for the service because they weren't in your service. But still, nevertheless, it works really well that way, and we get the numbers that we get that way. So taken in total, I think we reach about the same number of people as we do as a church on a Sunday. So we're 3 years into this, and we're reaching monthly about 350 people that way and about 350 people on a Sunday morning.
One of the exciting things, Ken, is that heart to be going is very similar to the vision that we've got of being this great lake here that people can encounter life-giving water and come to know Christ, but also being those rivers that go out in our communities to different places. And I guess keen just to keep learning and exploring different ways that we can experiment just to see what God might be able to do through us as churches to reach and transform this city, but this nation together. So it's really exciting to be now. I know you've very kindly released as well your associate who helps sort of head up all these different things to come and speak at our Leaders' Day on the March the 8th. And so a number of our leaders and kind of in emerging leaders are going to be meeting on the 8th of March. And the person from Digital Baptist Church who's just kind of helping oversee some of these different ministries, she's going to come and speak to us. So do thank Ellen for doing that.
So Ellen Wilde will be here a month from today, in fact. And you may well have questions about this. We're certainly learning from you guys as well, have done over the years. We value our partnership, and we're not saying we've got this sorted in any way, but hopefully I've given you enough of a taster to want to come along and hear what Ellen might say and be part of that conversation.
Thanks so much, Ken. I'm just going to pray for Ken. I'd love us to be just praying as well for just stuff going on in our world, even as we gather. So maybe we just stand as we come to God's word. If you're able, let's stand with me and let's just cry out to God. God, we thank you, Lord, that you're at work in our nation. We thank you, God, for what you're doing in Chichester Baptist Church and in that city of Chichester. Lord, even this morning, these different things go out across the city. Bless them there. And Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in our own city, Lord. Thank you for what is going on with partnerships across churches. Thank you for different communities that are meeting at different times throughout the week and touching lives, Lord. We thank you again for what you've been doing in Alpha and pray for even this Monday night. But Lord, we do recognize that we live in an amazing season of opportunity where there's great freedom to speak for you. And so God, come and speak to us about how we can better be those local missionaries. And Lord, for people who've gone to other parts of the world or are trying to serve you in places where there's great persecution, Lord, help them today. Meet with them. Lord, those in war-torn places, I think of Ukraine so much in the news these past few days. God, be with brothers and sisters in Ukraine, we pray. And now, God, give us attentive ears. Come and fill Ken with your spirit that we might hear what you want to say to us through him. Amen. Amen. Please take your seats.
Thanks, David, very much. It really is just great to be with you. We really do, it's easy to say, but we really do value our partnership with you guys. I guess you don't see that week by week because we're busy doing our own churches, but it's great to be here. I noticed just this morning that your Twitter feed said you had an exciting guest speaker this morning. Thank you for whoever wrote that. It just goes to prove you can't believe everything you hear and see on the internet. But it is great to be with you. As David said, my name's Ken Benjamin. Some people in my church make play of the fact that my name's rhyme. So feel free to call me Ken Ben if you want to. That's absolutely fine. Even in my church, by doing that, they're being kind because my middle name is Leonard. So I am, in fact, Ken Len Ben, which was a deliberate joke, believe it or not, on the part of my father, who thought, wouldn't it be good if all of his names rhymed, he thought. And so now I have that name. Let's look together at a different thing to what David and I were discussing, but something else that's very dear to my heart, which is the idea of whole life discipleship. Imagining our discipleship, everyone involved, every day and everywhere. Or as we shall say, if you can forward it for me, Mike, because it doesn't seem to be working here in our slides, what it looks like to be a disciple whenever, whatever, and wherever. I'm going to take two readings, and the first of those readings is from Matthew 28, verses 16 to 20, and it's here on the screen, but follow it in the church Bibles if you want to. Anyone got a page number for us in the church Bibles? 1,000, you say? 1,000, okay, brilliant. 1,000. Matthew 28 and verses 16 to 20, the Great Commission. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age." I'm going to take two verses from Colossians as well. Colossians 3, verses 23 and 24. Turn to it if you want, but it's also here on the screen. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. So our title today, whatever, wherever, whenever, both readings have those aspects to them. Jesus says he is with us always, or if you like, whenever. And the people reading those instructions, the ones on the screen now, in a place called Colossae, people who do all sorts of roles outside of the church, they are told, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters. And Jesus commands us again in Matthew to go into all nations, so to go wherever. In speaking to you today about these subjects, I really come at it with two different hats. I am a local minister. I don't expect the bits on the right-hand side of these screens to be legible, but that's the front page of our website and our church logo on the right-hand side. And with a church like you, involved in a whole range of ministries as you are. CAP is there as well, among a whole range of things. And alternative gatherings, you could click on that if you want to at home and have a look at our alternative gatherings. And I'm also an associate speaker for an organisation called LICC, London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, which was set up by this man, John Stott, who was committed to the idea of double listening, of listening to the Word of God and listening to the world and applying the Word of God to the reality of the world. And he set up in Vere Street, the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity, to help people engage with what it looks like to be a disciple for all of your week, particularly your working week. And so it's with those two hats that I come to you, as well as with a friend of David and Laura. I'm indebted to Laura, who helped me write a book about bereavement that I certainly wouldn't have got published without your help. So it's just great to be here. So this whole life message then, whenever, whatever, wherever, I'm really committed to this as trying to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus. At our church recently, our youth worker left, but he didn't leave. He stayed in our church. After 8 brilliant years of service, he left to train as a teacher and stayed part of our church. He believes something which is key for us in our church, which is that there is no such thing as a secular job if you're a follower of Jesus. If you do your work for God, then they are all spiritual jobs. And our church believed that too. And so we viewed his move as a move from one form of full-time Christian work to another form of full-time Christian work. And so today's subject about being a whole life disciple on our front line serving God, it better be right because it's cost me a very good youth worker. Actually, we've got a great new youth worker in our church and he's brilliant too. And we commissioned them both, the youth ministry leader and the teacher. I say that at the start because it tells you something of where I'm coming from. You know that I've been a minister for 18 years in Chichester. Before that, I was a lecturer. I taught business studies and management skills in a college in South London. And before that, I was in retail. I worked for Debenhams department stores, particularly as a trainer. I think there was a Debenhams not far from here at that time. Years and years ago, I was involved in a refit for that store. That's as near as I've come to this area. In thinking about this subject, though, LICC have worked out that the term frontline may be more helpful when we're thinking about our place in the week, that it's a broader term than workplace. Now, you need to, some of you, if you're going to adopt the term frontline in thinking about this, some of you may need to get over the fact that frontline is the number one flea treatment for cats and dogs that you have at home. If you can just get that image out of your head, and I'm sorry for bringing it up for the other half of you who weren't even thinking that. Your frontline is the place in your week where you spend most time with people who aren't yet Christians. The place in your week where you spend most time with people who aren't yet Christians. Now, for some of you, that will be workplace, many of you. Some of you will be retired. It won't be that. It may be some social group. For some of you, it may be the school gate. For some of you, it may be school or college or university. Where is your front line? Because we should all have them. When I came to ministry, I'd just come from training at Bible College, and a chap called Mark Green was my tutor at college. And Mark Green has become the chief executive of the London Institute for Contemporary Christianity. And he was already conveying these sorts of values to students like me at Bible College. And I was convinced by them. I just felt they were vital and intuitively right. And to try to help people to be disciples and equip them for all of their week. And so for 18 years, I'm not saying we've got this right in our church, and it drops off the radar so easily, but we try to encourage people in wherever they find themselves. So for us, if you were to look at our website, again, I don't expect this to be legible, what you won't find is a button to click on called Whole Life Discipleship, or a button to click on called Frontline, because we simply don't think it's like that. It's not an extra program or an event or a course. There are courses you can do. There are DVD resources from LICC, and they're very valuable. I know perhaps one home group here has looked at one of the frontline resources. I hope you found it helpful. And there are new ones coming out all of the time. But it's not about that. It's an all-pervading value for us. And that's right, but it's also tricky. The fact that whole life discipleship or frontline issues are best approached as all-pervading issues means that they don't appear as a button to click on or an event you go to, and therefore they can drop off the agenda. It's so easy as a church leader for that to happen. Frontline whispers for our attention when other things shout for our attention. So what we need is for this thinking to work its way into so many aspects of our church life so that it naturally appears in the songs that we sing, in the prayers that we pray, in the things that we discuss in church leaders' meetings, in home groups and small groups, in the illustrations and stories that we use, in the preaching that we have. And today you've given me a preaching slot, and so let's look at that. We would say, whenever we preach, there are two things we're really saying. The first is, we're saying, this is not it. Now, I appreciate that's not the most encouraging title for a sermon, and we wouldn't necessarily give our sermons that title either. When we built our new church building some years ago, I wanted this to be a kind of banner at the back of our stage. And older, wiser leaders than me pointed out that it might not be the most welcoming thing to have, this is not it, when you've just found our church and walked into it. But I wanted people to know that in terms of a building, this is not it. We're not about a building, we're about our people. In terms of the people, we'd each want to say, if you're looking at us, this is not it. We're an ongoing work trying to commit to and become more like Jesus. In terms of what's going on in the whole world, we would want to say, this is not it. God has a plan. The plan is ongoing, and we wait for Christ's return. In terms of what a church does and what Christians do, though, we would want to say, this is not it. It's about our whole lives, about our whole working week, wherever we find ourselves, paid or unpaid work. Frontline can apply to anything. And so what we would say about a sermon is that it's really like a half-time team talk in a game that has two halves, like football or rugby. And the first half may have gone well and it may have gone badly, but we come together for resources, for suggestions, for encouragement, for equipping, and off we go again to serve our Lord again in the second half. And those of us who have the privilege of standing here and speaking, we're player managers in that analogy. We should be in the game too. So how does that apply to the Matthew reading, Matthew 28 and verses 16 to 20? Well, the Great Commission of Jesus, we can surely agree that these are key among Jesus's words. They're among Jesus' last words. Matthew presents them as his last words. They're not actually his last words. You get words later on in the beginning of Acts, for example. But they're set out as final instructions, certainly to the disciples. And they contain some things that your church and mine, with shared values, would hold dear. Vital things. So go into all the world and make disciples. We value that, as you do. I've seen your flags as you go up the staircase. Make disciples. We value that greatly. Teaching them everything Jesus taught you. Yes, absolutely. Baptizing them. Absolutely. We both believe in that. I've been to baptism services taking place just here in this building. And amazingly, Jesus is saying, and do that to, he's saying all of those instructions to a mixed group. Even among the disciples, looking at the risen Jesus with these instructions, it says, but some doubted. I wonder if tucked away in those instructions is a message about whole life discipleship, which we might miss. It isn't so much a command, much more a promise. Jesus says, I'll just put it there in blue at the bottom left, I am with you always. I am with you always. Now, I don't know about you, But when I think of the word always in that context, it's so easy for me to think what Jesus is saying is, I'm with you now, and I will be with you in eternity, in heaven, forever. And that's beautiful, encouraging, and right. Let me say to you, though, that the word we translate as always isn't one word at all. It's three Greek words, very simple Greek words. And actually what Jesus is saying is, and I am with you all the days. I'm with you all the days. Now, if somebody is with you all the days, then that to me is rather different. It means he's with us now, and he's with us in eternity, but he's with us in a whole bunch of days between now and then. A whole bunch of exciting, difficult, and also average days. It means he promises to be with you tomorrow, wherever you find yourself this time tomorrow. Now, as a church leader, we can have a very skewed view of life, because nobody rings us to tell us they're having an average day. They ring us because something unusually exciting, unusually joyful, or difficult or tragic is happening. We don't necessarily want phone calls or emails telling us we're having an average day. Although, why not? Email David or phone him this week. Tell him that you're having an average day. He'll be hugely grateful for that. For today, though, let's consider this. Our Lord is Lord of a whole bunch of days that are normal, average days, and he promises to be with you in those. There was a church one of my colleagues, who's also an associate, was conveying these values to, and there was in a home group setting, and there was an older lady, retired lady called Isabel, who just wasn't getting this. And I'll tell you her story in the hope that it might help one or two here. Isabel was a quiet lady, and she hadn't contributed much to the conversation to her home group, looking at this whole issue of frontline. And they asked her what her thoughts were, and she said, I don't know, I've been wondering as you've been talking. I just clean the house, I go to the shops, and I look after the grandchildren from time to time. So they asked her to tell her a bit more about the grandchildren. And sure enough, those grandchildren weren't believers, and one in particular, the oldest grandchild, spent time with her every Sunday and had Sunday lunch with her. This was a small church that had no young people in it. And they asked her how old was this granddaughter, expecting the answer to be 8 or 10 or so. 22, she said, was her granddaughter's age. Well, what do you do with your granddaughter when you have lunch with her? Well, I described a sermon to her, and I tell her what the sermon has been about, and she listens and she's really interested. Now, this church had been praying really hard that their message, what they preached on a Sunday, would be heard by young adults, never knowing that that's week by week what Isabel did. They knew Isabel well, but they'd never asked her about her front line, about what was going on in the rest of her life. Well, they paused in their home group, and they recommissioned Isabel back to her family and to the role that she plays with her granddaughter. A few weeks later, they met again as a home group, and they asked her how it was going, and she said this, well, I don't know what's happening, but my granddaughter keeps asking all sorts of questions about my faith and church now. I'm on a bit of a roll, she said. And then she added brilliantly, I know what I'm supposed to be doing now. We all need to identify our front lines. I need some now as a minister, and I've always needed them. When I was in retail and went to join Debenhams on their graduate scheme, I went to a good church in South London with a good minister. I think my minister thought my issue as a Christian going into retail would be Sunday trading. Sunday trading was being debated. It was just about to come into be. Now, Sunday trading was and is an issue, but it wasn't my daily issue, I have to say. And actually, in a big company like that, they would have quite liked somebody who they could have given some conscientious objection to not have to work on a Sunday. That would have been a token thing they would have quite liked at the time. And whatever you think about the issue of Sunday trading, if you walk 50 yards from here, you'll see that that ship has sailed, really. But my daily issues as a Christian were many and diverse, and they were real. They included things like, how do you do a good job in a big company that seems to want so much of your time that it's as though it wants your soul? How do you work Christianly with a few hundred young people, young adults, in Oxford Street, which is where I worked, when the prevailing atmosphere is one of flirting? How do you arrest somebody for theft in a Christian way? How do you talk about retail needs when you really mean wants? When are you helping the economy with commerce, and when is it just about greed? When is it a good thing to help somebody to spend a little bit more because the thing that they buy will bring greater pleasure and last longer and treated the people who made it better? And when is it just sin? How do you help a colleague who's just made a massive mistake in her private life and now the whole of menswear know? These and other issues were my daily issues. And I suggest many of us have similar issues. Week by week, there is the potential here and wherever we preach to help in these discipleship issues in a half-time team talk way. And so for today, just hear this. Our Jesus, our Saviour, promises to be with us all the days. And there is strength in finding fellow believers who offer mutual support wherever we are on our front lines. If I had my time again, both at university and in college teaching and in retail, I would work harder and earlier at trying to seek out fellow believers and find strength and mutual support from them. I did in all of those settings, but I took too long to do it. One of the guys in our church is a teacher. He's just started in a new school in Chichester this term. He prayed last week for a fellow Christian he could meet in what seemed like a very unchristian school. In the most unlikely of circumstances, somebody passed him a drink in the staff room and he saw a fish tattoo on their arm and asked her about it. She hadn't been coming to church for years. She came to our church on Sunday and wants to get back on track, her and her whole family. He now has this Christian colleague who he was praying for, and that family too have gained. Seek out your fellow believers in your front line. And what about the Colossians verse? What does that say to us about this passage? Well, it says, of course, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. There's a similar verse in Ephesians 6 and verse 7, which says, serve wholeheartedly. Serve wholeheartedly as if you are serving the Lord, not men. Now, wholeheartedly there means more directly with goodwill. It's quite precise. It means not just do a good job. It means for those around you, whether they treat you well or not, your boss treats you well or not, do what you do with goodwill towards them. Now, both in Colossians and Ephesians, we're talking about a mixed audience here that he's writing to. It's the same context. He's writing in both those passages to slaves and masters and families. Now, on the face of it, that's not our half-time team talk context, the slaves bit particularly. Very few of you would have come this morning hoping that there was a message for how you deal with your slaves, I'm hoping. But the fact that it includes slaves, well, I don't know Brighton and Hove that well, but I'm just assuming that to be the case. The fact that it includes slaves, though, is interesting because you, like us, would be with the church ever since Wilberforce in believing that the blueprint of the Bible carries freedom for everybody, such that the references to slavery there are a temporary thing, and there is this time bomb ticking in the message of Jesus, such that in the end we have to cry out for freedom for all, and we are part of that message. Nevertheless, in the short term, there are these people called slaves, and they are told, do what you do with goodwill to those around you. Do whatever you do as if serving God, not men. Work at it with all your heart. So there really is a whatever message here. This is the comedian Milton Jones. I've been reading Milton Jones and his expression of his Christian faith. He's known for his one-liners. Great comedian. He's coming to Brighton in June. Tickets still available. And he said, well, let me put to you another example of him describing his faith before I tell you the quote that's relevant here. My favourite quote at the moment is, he says this: Christianity is like knitting. It's basically good, but appears to be responsible for quite a lot of bad things, he says. But I also like his definition of holiness. Holy means set apart. Not like a set of cutlery that only comes out on Sundays, more like a Swiss army knife. Remove a splinter, cut a rope, open a bottle, anytime, anywhere, whatever the boss needs. There's something very powerful in that, isn't there? Something very clear to all of us. With all your heart is a whatever message. Wherever you find yourself is an interesting phrase, because it's a different question to one of calling. Am I called to be where I find myself tomorrow? Well, that's an interesting subject for another day, for another sermon. But wherever you are, you're called to be there for tomorrow, even in the short term. And there, serve with goodwill to those you find yourself with. The new Archbishop of Canterbury, Justin Welby, was interviewed about his time in the oil industry recently, and he said this: being in a world where almost no one, the vast majority of people, were not Christian believers, and the challenge of what being a Christian meant in that world was hugely important, and it taught me to value the fact that everyone has a vocation. Everyone is called to be a Christian disciple, wherever they are. And it's not just for people who get ordained. So today, I hope and pray that we can reimagine, re-envisage ourselves in this as if serving the Lord context, even if you have a horrible boss. As if serving the Lord. And to do our very best when we do so. When I think of doing our very best, I think of Shaker Furniture. I don't know if you know Shaker Furniture. It's very trendy still. You can get kitchens made in Shaker style, even though fitted kitchens aren't of the right era for Shaker Furniture. Very simple design and timeless in many ways. If you are looking at a piece of furniture and you want to know whether it's genuine or fake, you want to know whether it's real Shaker Furniture or not, I'm told that you can do this. You can look at a piece of the furniture that no one is ever going to see. You can pull out a drawer, say, and look at the carpentry at the back of the drawer. And if it's real Shaker, it will be as good in quality as the front of the drawer. Now, why is it as good at the back as at the front? Well, because the original Shakers were believers. And their attitude to work was, God sees that. That bit at the back that nobody else sees, God sees that. So I'm going to give my best to it and do it as best I possibly can. I have less time on my front lines now as a minister because most of my time is spent with Christians, but I still think it's important that I do spend time on front lines, find them, seek them out. One of them for me is golf. I play golf fairly regularly. And I play with whoever I can find to play with. It's been my experience that playing with people on a golf course, it's about hole 9 or 10, halfway through, that they ask me what I do for a living. At that point, I tell them I'm a minister of a local church, and the reactions are amazing at that point. You can hear them, their minds whirring. And what they're doing is they're retracing everything they've just said for 9 holes. I've seen them apologise for the language they've used and all sorts of things. But they also retrace everything I've just said and done. They in their minds, I can see it going on. They look at how I treated the people in the shop when we were made to wait for too long. How I was when things went brilliantly for me or for them. How I was when things went terribly. How I was when people drove off in front of us and shouldn't have done. We are whole life disciples, and making our front lines key in that is absolutely vital. We sing and have sung, the earth is filled with his glory. absolutely right. In God's plan, we are part of that story. We're part of that story. Just to close, maybe you're hearing all of this and thinking, isn't this just an extra job that nobody has to do? You don't know my front line, you're thinking, but it's tough out there. It's really difficult. It's just hard surviving the role that I've got to do and playing a role in church and other things. And now you're giving me this extra impetus called whole life discipleship or front line. Well, I would want to say that life is hard on our front lines, but this isn't an optional add-on. This is needed, and it makes sense, actually, of so many other things. It's the reason why we're here, to be God's messengers wherever we find ourselves. So today, we are called to a whenever ministry. Our Lord is the Lord of all the days, and he promises to be with us in that context. The Lord of the average day, too. We're supposed to do what we do in a whatever way. Whatever we do it with our best skills and with goodwill to those around us. And we're supposed to have a whenever attitude, a wherever attitude. Wherever you find yourself, not where you want to be, wherever you find yourself, God uses you there before he takes you on somewhere else. Let's pray about some of that. So as we pray, just ask for the Lord to drop into your mind the things that are your takeaway message or messages for today. What is the thoughts that resonate with you and your heart? What do you need to reimagine or be encouraged by? As you picture your front line, as you picture the school gate, as some of you picture even virtual front lines where you're tweeting other people or on Facebook with other people, as you're picturing your workplace, as you're picturing your place of education, your family, for some of you, is your front line, then picture the Lord welcoming you in as you walk into that place. He promises to be with you all the days. And thank him for his presence there. Ask that you'd be more aware of it. Ask that he'd point you to fellow believers wherever that's possible. Ask that he would give you a new start as a disciple and a follower and a messenger for him there. Amen.